Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode here on Sticks and Bones with your ghost host, Chelsea and Ten. Hi, Ten. How are you? And I hope you guys missed us since we moved bi-weekly because it's been weird.
We moved bi-weekly. I'm unsure who I'm talking to anymore. And I almost forgot last week that we were going bi-weekly because I texted Chelsea and I was like, aren't don't we need a film? I feel like we're missing something.
No, but it's not even like, you know, we had our own podcast go last week, The Ghost Whisperer and The Dirt Diaries. If you're looking for more content and you're new here and you don't know that Ten and I launched our own separate podcast alongside of Sticks and Bones, because, you know, the girls could just never have enough to do these days. But yeah, it definitely was very strange. I'm happy to be back here on Sticks and Bones talking about weird, weird things.
Speaking of weird things, it's been quite a weekend for Chelsea and Ten. For those of you ghosts and ghouls on the East Coast, we had an earthquake and it's a eclipse today and the new moon.
Yeah, and we did have to refilm the intro to this episode because Mercury retrograde already. So fingers crossed that this podcast even gets out this week.
Happy Daphnon. I hope we're all surviving.
I know. It's really funny because we had the earthquake and my family's Catholic, and I just seen on Facebook, like, my aunts being like, God is mad at us. And I'm like, maybe. You know what, Meg? What are you guys doing? Maybe.
Maybe. Right after Easter, guys? Could be. Are we out of Pietas? Could be.
I don't know. The earthquake was definitely weird, though. And then I saw people, like, on the West Coast making fun of us East Coasters. And I'm like, listen here, we are not trained in earthquakes, okay? The last one that we had was in 2011. And I remember because I was working as a cashier at the self-checkout and the whole store started shaking. So excuse me if I panicked, because this is uncharted territory for a New Jerseyan like myself. I could deal with snowstorms, rain, blizzard, hail, hurricanes, earthquakes. I don't know.
Well, that's why you got me. Yeah. So my parents actually called me like immediately after and they're like, you had an earthquake. And I was like, it was only like a 5 something. Like when I was in a meeting when the earthquake occurred and I was like, oh, it's just a big truck driving by. And then it wouldn't stop. And I was like, how long is this truck? And I was actually angry that I had to get up from my meeting to go check because I thought there was like this mile long truck traveling outside my house.
Yeah.
And then my old advisor who I was in a meeting with goes, it's an earthquake. And I'm like, oh, I got to get under the doorway, God. And she's like, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm like, don't get under the table. You get in the doorway. And Iroh got shaken awake from a nap. So he's all disheveled and bamboozled. And I was just like, there has to be a better way for this.
I didn't even move. I just stood there. I was like, I think it's a helicopter over my house. And me and Pluto just stood in my bedroom. I was putting clothes away and I'm like, I'm just not even going to move. Maybe it'll stop.
Hope it stops. Yeah. I'm like trying to tell my advisor, I'm like, get in the doorway. She's like, I don't get in the doorway when I'm in Rome or Turkey. And I'm like, that's not safe.
That is not earthquake 101.
That is not earthquake 101. And let me tell you, we grew up with earthquake drills. So I know a thing or two.
Well, thank God. Cause I don't know anything. So I just stood there with Pluto and I was like, maybe this helicopter will pass.
Maybe the helicopter will land. Maybe we'll be done soon.
Yeah, like, whatever, man. But anyway, wherever you are out there in the world, hope you're having an amazing day. Hope there's no more earthquakes. And, you know, I'm just tired of what's going on astrologically in the world between the lunar eclipse and earthquake and Mercury retrograde. So I'm done.
The girls are tired.
I know. But anyway, before we start today's episode, because we are talking about something absolutely insane and crazy today, because it wouldn't be Sticks and Bones if we weren't. So I'm very excited. Do you have an announcement? So today on March 8th at 12 p.m., we are having a restock in the metaphysical store. We are restocking the Gatekeeper. Speaking of protection, this is spiritual protection. Our Gatekeeper collection is one of the originals, OG Sticks and Bones collections, and it's based off of the Gatekeepers of the cemeteries, tombs, and graveyards, which we are going to talk about again on the podcast soon, which I'm super excited about. And it's for those of you that need spiritual protection. So that's coming out today. We haven't restocked it. Ten, I checked.
Did you check? Because I have not checked. So how long has it been?
Oh, you didn't hear me just say the month?
No.
Oh, do you want to guess the last time we restocked it?
Oh my God, did you say it? I missed it.
It's okay. I think we were like talking at the same time. give me a good old guess. One guess. And then if you don't get it, I'll
April. I think it was last April.
It was last August.
Damn. We did it in August?
Yes. Yeah. So that was the last time. So it's coming back to the store and we're really excited. It's actually one of my favorite collections in the metaphysical store just because it's, you know, based off of a spiritual concept. So yeah, grab those while you can. And yeah, for those of you that are looking for more podcasting content, we have a Patreon. Ted and I post early access to episodes on Patreon. And we also post, you know, our own deep dive content. This month, we're going to be talking about some really awesome things. So if you're looking for more of us, you can sign up for our Patreon. It's only $10 a month. And we do sync our Patreon with Spotify. So if you are an avid Spotify listener, just search Sticks and Bones, Patreon, Spotify exclusive, and you should find it.
And you'll be able to see what the girls are doing, because one of our favorite topics that we took a deep dive into a month, 2 months ago was angel numbers. And that was so cool to look into.
Oh, that was my favorite one. And then we just did something on Hades and Persephone that we talked about the Plutonian and the gateway to Hades. There is an actual gateway to Hades that the ancients used to go to. So if you're interested, we talk all about that. And then one of our favorite paintings of Hermes, which
yes,
we talk about all about the Acheron. Anyway, we could be here all day talking about the underworld, but we are talking about the underworld today. And we're talking about something crazy, and we're talking about curse tablets, and curse tablets and the underworld are synonymous. They go together. The Chthonic gods are a part of curse tablets, but guess what? You know what else is? Demons.
Bet you didn't see that coming.
The Ars Goetia, Satan, okay? Beelzebub, demons are part of curse tablets as well. And, you know, why were people using curse tablets? Like, what... As an archaeologist, what have you seen on some of the curse tablets? Like, what are the main themes? And I know we're going to dive into two major ones today, but what are
the biggest thing is going to be jealousy. The biggest kind of umbrella aspect of why people are doing this is going to be jealousy. And as you know, here at Sticks and Bones, curse tablets fall under magic. Curse tablets also include love curses as well. They are darker. You're kind of manipulating what's around you. And a lot of it stems back to people in, you know, maybe a love triangle. Somebody's jealous that either they are the other individual or that they're a lover spurned, or somebody is too popular. Somebody has a too successful of a business. There was actually one that was found in Athens, I believe in the mid 2010s, that a curse tablet was actually going after two barkeeps who were successful in their business. So the overarching theme is jealousy, front and center.
I mean, jealousy is the root of all quote unquote evil. Unfortunately, when it gets into the hands of wrong people that want to perform magic, you know, that's why I stay locked and loaded over here in my protection, because I am the girl that owns a metaphysical store. And I'm like, I dare you even try me with a curse tablet. Okay. I will smoke you. Don't come around over here. Don't you
come correct or don't come.
I leave my offerings on Depnon. Leave me alone.
Correct, and don't come with a curse tablet.
But actually, in a lot of Italian folk magic as well, we do, and we've talked about this numerous times in episodes, love is also a main reason as why people are going on curse tablets. We are no stranger to curse tablets on Sticks and Bones or talking about it. We've talked about the darker sides of love magic, right? And it's unfortunately, it's the reason why people sometimes get into magical practices is because they want something, and you know, who am I to say if it's wrong? You know, I'm just
a girl who digs the dirt.
I'm just a girl just looking at what the people are doing with the curse tablets. And, you know, we're going to decipher them today for you. But they're not only found in Greece. Okay. Like, this is not just a thing that's happening in ancient Greece or in Rome. We're looking at, I have one today that's actually from Germany. So
this one's bamboozled some scholars. This is for the girls, really.
So I'm not even going to lie. 10 actually brought my attention to this curse tablet because of the knowledge on demons that I do have. And it is invoking two demons. And it's very perplexing. And I, because of the information that I know, I now understand why archaeologists are bamboozled having a closer look at this curse tablet, because I too myself was a little bamboozled before we even recorded. I'm like, what this doesn't really make entire sense to me. Like, this is not the route I would have gone. And I wonder if they paid someone to do this for them, you know?
I mean, we see sorceresses, magi, magicians, astrologers in the ancient days and times of the Mediterranean world. So we do know that there were professionals doing this for people. But the fact that it was Germany, and it's not even ancient Germany, everybody, it's so perplexing because we're not seeing what we normally see. So after seeing this find, I think it came out at the end of 2023. I was like, you know who I need to turn to is my own professional in demons, in the world of demons. I'm going to Chelsea.
Yeah. So this is actually in the 15th century. And yeah, the demons invoked are very interesting. Listen, I'm going to read this to you.
Mm-hmm.
The good people that are listening. And if you have background knowledge on demons or the Ars Goetia, you might be like, hey, Chelsea, I totally get where you're coming from. What the hell? I probably just would have gone a different route. That's just me. Anyway, so I'm going to read the curse tablet. So it's coming from 15th century. And excuse me, I do not speak Latin. So Sathanas, Teleki, Basil Buch, Heinrich, and Bereth. Researchers deciphered this text as a curse that was directed toward a woman named Teleki and a man named Heinrich. And it summoned Beelzebub, which they're using synonymously with Satan, which is a whole conversation we'll have in a second, and Bereth, which is a demonic spirit of the Ars Goetia. So it's a lesser, like Beelzebub and Satan are kind of very high up in the hierarchy. The Ars Goetia fall underneath that. So it's a lesser demonic spirit that you can call upon and make pacts with. There's a lot of them. There's over 60. So
gotcha.
I just want to make that clear. And so what we're surmising is that this is some sort of jealousy in terms of a relationship. So it looks like this person's trying to break up a relationship. And that's what the archaeologists took away from it as well.
So who are the demons then that are mentioned?
Right. So
yeah, because I'm just like, this is out of my wheelhouse. So
It depends. It depends on how you're taking this. And so Satanas is Satan. Yes. And it depends on how you're viewing Beelzebub and Satan. So Satan can sometimes be a catch-all for Beelzebub, Lucifer, all of those other demon names that you might know. Well, Leviathan, like that's another name. But also in the Bible, we have Beelzebub being the right hand of Satan. So the archaeologists are taking this as another name for Satan. Okay. I'm not so sure. There's so many different renditions of that. So anyway, besides the point, Beelzebub is an infernal, a higher demon known for causing plagues and destruction. So you can, you know, invoke or summon Beelzebub to destroy somebody from the inside out. He's known as Lord of the Flies. And what do flies do, right? They come in great waves. They eat things. They leave maggots. They're known for decaying things. Yeah, in the most disgusting sense of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. Right?
But also you could invoke Beelzebub and summon him if you have decayed and you need more power. Like he can also take it and give it. So it's like, think of a plague. Kind of reminds me, this is going to sound crazy, but bear with me. Kind of reminds me of Apollo, right? Being a god of plague, but also he has this lighter side to him in a sense of, I can give you things, but I also can take it as well.
I mean, that makes a ton of sense to have that almost dual nature.
Absolutely. So, and obviously we are dealing with demons here. So demons are known for their trickery and deceit, even the ones that are of the highest ranking, because why are people summoning demons? They want knowledge. They want power. They're going to the complete opposite end of the spectrum in terms of like the quote unquote forces of the world. They're going to demonic spirits. So this person clearly wanted a decay of some sort of relationship is what I'm seeing by invoking Beelzebub.
Okay.
This is where I don't really understand. So Bereth is the 28th spirit in the Ars Goetia. Okay.
Okay.
So it's her demon. And Bereth is rules over the past, present, and the future. So I don't know why they're summoning Bereth.
Does Bereth have ties with past, present, and future? Is that more of like aspects of like fate in a sense? Or do they, does Barrett just kind of see or foretell what is to come?
So it seems to me it's like fate changing, like can change.
Okay.
And manipulate past, present, and future. But the biggest thing about this specific demon within the Ars Goetia is that they're known actually for their lying. So if you are, if I'm someone that is summoning a demon and, you know, making pacts with demons is, they can be deceitful and trickery because they're protecting their knowledge and information and their power. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to summon one that's actually known for being super deceitful. Like, it's literally written down in the book of, like, they're known for being deceitful. So
that's a bold move.
Right. Like, I don't know if this is the one I want to help me do my bidding. Like,
yeah, unless they're trying to use the spirit of Barrett to almost trick Heinrich and Teleki into this, like, deceitful future relationship that is being decayed from the inside because of Beelzebub. Like, but also, like,
I don't know.
Why would you go to a master manipulator for that?
I don't know. But the biggest takeaway is someone is really mad at this relationship between two people and has gone as far as to summon demons to make an arrangement in order to ruin this person's relationship. So I wish we knew, like, I'm like, this is like a telenovela. I want to know the backstory. Do they love this person from afar? Are they a scorned lover? Are they part of a love triangle? Like, what is going on here? And we don't have much more information, but I'm like, shit, I really wish I knew.
Yeah, there's not much left from that. But what's really interesting that further kind of pushes the aspect of, like, the decay of whatever relationship or love that they have is, if I'm recalling correctly, this tablet was discovered in a latrine, so a bathroom. It's not in a toilet. So for hundreds of years, people have been taking a dump on this relationship.
Yikes. I wonder what happened to these two people. I wonder what happened to these two people. I wonder if these demonic spirits even answered the curse tablet, especially if it wound up in a toilet bowl. You know, like,
do you think that this was professionally done? Do you think it was written by a professional?
I don't, because okay, it's not. See, okay, you have to be really specific with curses, and I feel like there is no specifics on the curse tablet of what needs to be done or what's being looked for. As my confusion as to why these two specific, I understand Beelzebub, but these two specific demonic spirits are being invoked. There is no, and I don't know if we're missing a part of the curse tablet, but I'm like,
oh, maybe.
Usually you want to be kind of specific in what you are seeking. And there was nothing specific about this. And you're leaving it up to demonic spirits to decide for you. And if they decide against you, like, I don't.
Gotta help you.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a 50-50 shot in the dark. Now, as someone who practices magic and is a professional, I would probably be way more specific in what I'm asking. And I would be having to give something in return. So this just seems like this was a botched job for me.
Now, I wonder if it was, you know, botched in the sense that, like, maybe they took it to somebody who was a professional, but since the knowledge of curse tablets had kind of gone out of fashion for 900 years at that point, that they just didn't know how to do it. So they're
then
like,
I just
all
wouldn't
right.
even try. With demons, I would not even try. That's a crazy.
That's a bold move.
That's
just
the thing.
Shoot off into the dark.
It's giving this person found evidence of curse tablets happening, and they wanted these two people to their relationship to fall apart so bad that they gave their best stab at it. And you could tell this is not, like, professionally done at all.
That's great. Like, you know that this maybe occurred. So likely that person, if they knew that curse tablets occurred, a learned person, probably of upper class at this point in 15th century Germany. But then to just, like, shoot it off in the dark when everything is super religious at this point with Catholicism and all of that kind of stuff, that's bold.
It is. Well, it's kind of like a good segue into the next one, because when you look at the Greek curse tablets, they're a little bit more specific. Like, you can actually tell what's going on and what people are asking for. And that's why I don't think this is a botched job, because you're not being specific. In hindsight, you're kind of just invoking Beelzebub Satan and Bereth, and you're not really asking for anything. You're just putting two people's names together. And I'm not really getting much else from that. You know what I mean? Like,
You're just like, here are the demons I'm summoning. Here's Heinrich and Teleki. Do what you will with that information.
I
Which is
don't.
weird.
Yeah, and it even says it's a cryptic message. So it's a very vague message that they found. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely, this is not professional. This is not how you get the work done, girls. This ain't it. This ain't
But
it.
if you wanted to go to a professional curse tablet we do have. And this
Not
is.
actually sticks and bones, but
No. Nay, nay.
I mean, maybe if you slide me some cash under the table, I'd think about it. No, I'm just
But this one is from the 4th century BCE from Attica. And this tablet must have been deposited in a grave, but the exact location and therefore the context is not entirely known. But I digress. So this actually has two sides, and this is the telenovela that you're going to want to hear about. So side A writes, I bind Theodora in the presence of the one female at Persephone's side and in the presence of those who are unmarried. May she be unmarried, and whenever she is about to chat with Callias and with Carias, whenever she is about to discuss deeds and words and business, words, whatever he indeed says. I bind Theodora to remain unmarried to Tereus, and I bind Tereus to forget Theodora,
My God, this is terrible.
and I bind Tereus to forget Theodora and sex with Theodora.
Wow.
And second side, because we're continuing on, there's more to say. And just as this corpse lies useless, so may all the words and deeds of Theodora be useless with regard to Tereus and to the other people. I bind Theodora before Hermes of the underworld and before the unmarried and before Tethys. I bind everything, both her words and deeds towards Tereus and toward other people and her sex with Tereus.
Emphasis on the sex than this whole curse tablet.
And may Tereus forget sex. May he forget the girl, Theodora, the very one whom he loves.
Let me tell you. See, now that's a curse tablet. That was insanely specific of like, I ban sex, I ban this, I ban that, and bind them and make them forget each other.
And this is who I'm doing it in front of. This is why I'm calling upon the good gods.
Okay, so we have the one female at Persephone's side. So I already know who that is. And let's give our listeners a moment to guess who, what Chthonic god do you think that is?
Name that god.
Do 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 do. Okay, time's up.
Time's up. That's going to be Hecate. That's going to be our gal pal. Likely in the Propolis aspect where she is Persephone's guide. So that is probably why they're giving that title of at the side of Persephone.
And then, so Persephone here, why are we having Persephone on this cursed tablet? In front of those who are unmarried, that's just like a crazy.
That's wild. That's oddly specific
That's
and I'm here for it.
mean.
So at Persephone's side, so we're getting Persephone as goddess of spring and queen of the underworld here. And because she is ruling on the side of her husband, King Hades, but in the presence of those who are unmarried, which may call back to the aspect of young Greek women during this time period who would leave votive statues at temples to Kore, Persephone, Aphrodite, Demeter. Upon their betrothal. So before they were married, they would leave votive offerings to these goddesses who have ties to marriage in order to have a marriage of love and fertility. So for the offspring of children, or for love and power and to have an equal marriage. So that could be why they are mentioning the unmarried. Or perhaps they are calling the unmarried shades or ghosts in that aspect because the unmarried, those who pass before their wedding day, they are also going to be a little bit more restless in the point of view of the ancient Greco-Romans.
No, it makes sense. And for my single girlies out there, I hope you're taking notes because if you're looking for marriage and a partner, hello, we have three goddesses here that you can leave offerings to. Okay, and then the last Chthonic god I believe was mentioned was Hermes, which I always love.
Yeah, so Hermes of the underworld. So we're taking Hermes Chthonia. And so that is really just of the earth. So it's taking more aspects of him, not as a messenger, but the fact that he could be allowing shades out of the underworld, perhaps to do the bidding of this unnamed individual who is trying to go after Theodora. And then we have Tethys, who is a Greek goddess, and she is the daughter of Uranus and Gaia, so primordial beings. And she's the sister of Oceanus. And she is really kind of interesting. And I can't for the life of me figure out why they are also bringing her in to this. She
I
has a
don't
lot
know.
of ties to like water, almost like a motherly figure. She does have some ties to like Rhea and everybody, some female titans. But I can't for the life of me understand why you would bring in a very old water goddess.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Well, so the point of this curse tablet, so obviously this is written, I'm going to assume, from a female who's in love with another man who's in love with another woman. And
Yeah.
now, are these two on the curse tablet married, or we don't know that?
I don't know. No, they're not, because it says, I bind Theodora to remain unmarried.
Aha, right. So they're
So
just, maybe they're
she,
betrothed or.
perhaps, and Theodora is in at least a sexual relationship with Tereus, who this anonymous writer is saying that they want him to forget not only her sex, but having sex with her as well.
I wonder, okay, this is just like, because I'm thinking this is like a movie. I wonder if the person writing this curse tablet is maybe set to be betrothed to this guy and he's in love with somebody else. You
It
know what I
could
mean?
be. I would like a little bit more background on Theodora, because remember, women during this time period, their marriage and their husband, that was basically like their main source of income. So
Right.
the moment you're divorced or dismissed because you maybe cannot produce children, there goes kind of your livelihood. And perhaps Theodora could be another woman. Maybe she's of the same class. I don't know. Or she could be a sex worker,
Yeah.
because sex workers during this time period would have also needed to stay with their clients in order to be financially secure.
No,
So,
100%. Women are not girl bosses in this time period. They are having to rely on men.
yes. So it's very interesting of one has her claws into this man and the other's trying to break them up. Interesting.
It is very interesting and it can go so many different ways. But I mean,
I
love
know.
is one of the main reasons why people are doing curse tablets. I get it. And especially when it's like your life relies on your marriage, you're going to resort to some of the most sinister things, like a curse tablet.
Absolutely. And I wonder what occurred, because I don't know if curse tablets are going to be people's first go-to of, oh my gosh, I'm in a love triangle. I got to go see the Magi and I have to go get a professional curse tablet done. It doesn't seem like that's kind of like the first
Well, why is
go-to.
that? I think clarification for what's going on in Greece. We've said this before on Hellenism 101 that most people are not practicing magic. So once again, curse tablets falls under magic, and this is not everybody in their house has knows how to write a curse tablet and is going to do it because they're trying to get their way, which is a big misconception we see in modern day, especially within Hellenism, that people are practicing magic. It's not. We've talked about it. It's not the first go-to, so that definitely makes sense. But so something must have happened.
Something must have pushed this to occur, because the ancients couldn't define what magic was, but they would know it when they saw it. And magic, to many of the people of the Eastern Mediterranean and the Greco-Roman world and time period, knew that magic was a no-no, even though many people were doing it or seeking professional help. Right. So it is really interesting, but yeah. And the fact that the person writing this is also stating, just as this corpse lies useless, where is this being done?
I don't know.
It's giving the Witch of Eric, though.
They definitely went to a professional. I feel like I can tell from the way it's so specific. And there's so many different layers to the curse tablet of so many different things are occurring at once. And they know the gods that need to be invoked on it, which is so funny.
Yes. And what's interesting, that's a little bit different from other love curses that I've seen historically, is I want to think that this is 100% written for a female client, because when male clients are having curse tablets written for them, they are usually having the author write that they almost want harm to come to their interest of their desires, so that the girl that they're in love with only turns to them, so that only they can
like
have
the white knight.
Yes. And it's like, oh, and I'm thinking of an example from a few centuries later where it says, may she not eat, may she not sleep, because she can only think about me, and may only this kind of cease when she comes to me in bed. So it's very different of how it's written. So I'm thinking that this is 100% written by a female rather than for a male client.
No, that makes so much sense. And it's like, we think we're so different than the ancient people, but it's like, look what people are doing during this time. They're like, this is what they're doing. Men ain't shit then, they ain't shit now. So that's a really, obviously they would take the white knight in shining armor approach of like, no, 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 I will console you. I'll be the hero of your story.
That, yeah, it's really, really crazy to see some of it, because it's almost like, may her like heart or certain aspects of her body like be in pain, or, you know, all the aspects that you experience when you have a crush that is like unrequited, like it's hard to focus. You don't eat, you don't sleep, you blah, 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 fill in the blank. We've all been there. And it's so interesting because curse tablets who are written for a male client, they almost want to cause harm to the woman of their desire so that they turn to her. But when it's a curse tablet written for a female client, it is to break up a relationship. And
yes,
this woman doesn't want to hurt Clias.
No,
Trias, whatever his name is. Trias, I think. She just wants the relationship to stop and for him to forget Theodora and sex with Theodora. So they must be not hiding this affair or relationship in front of this author.
100%.
Shit, which is so sad. Damn.
I take my ass to the, you know, the priestess and being like, excuse me, my husband. Oh, maybe they're betrothed. Maybe she's set to be betrothed. Get this woman out of the picture, please, because my livelihood depends on it.
Exactly. And it's like,
no, it's survival. Listen. The girls get it.
Girls who get it. And also, what class, what family was,
I don't know,
this female, this unnamed woman from? And who was Theodora? I feel bad for her, kind of, but almost like, what are you doing, girl?
I don't know. Well, I do have, I think we have time. I have one curse tablet that's not based on love, but it is based on jealousy. And
lay it on me.
Okay. So this one is from the first century, and it was found in a well in the Agora in Athens.
We love it.
I will bind Sosa Clea and her property and great fame and fortune and mind. Let her become hateful to friends. I will bind her under murky Tartarus in troublesome bonds with Hecate Kithonios. Now tell me about that one.
Is that the end of the curse tablet?
That's the end of it. You know, the people that discovered this said it's an unusual tone, and the associated image was unique and was originally described as a figure of a bat with outspread wings. It also had a six-arm Hecate and a triple head of her.
I know the cursed tablet you're talking about now.
Yes.
Yes. So why people will do images on cursed tablets, sometimes of gods, but most of the time towards the intended victim, is to help the gods or the spirits or the shades that you're invoking find their target.
Oh, also sorry. This is only a part of the Defixio from the source I'm pulling from. It also referred to Hecate with multiple titles such as Chthonia, Tridotis, Triple Face, Single Face of the Heavens, and asked her to wield her bronze sickle and cut them out. So it was a really long, apparently, curse tablet. But obviously, this one's based off of property. People are jealous of this woman's, I'm assuming it's a woman. Yeah, mm-hmm. and her property and great fame and fortune and mine. So someone is envious of this one person.
I wonder if either she's unmarried or if she's widowed. And so she is able to control her own financials and own her own property without a man present.
Yeah. And it's like, let her become hateful to friends. So it seems like she's a socialite almost.
And they want to almost kind of like make her alone. Maybe that's her kind of chaos or Achilles is being alone.
I will bind her under murky Tartarus in troublesome bonds with Hecate and Chthonios. Like, not the Tartarus. Like, why do you hate this person so much? I want more. I want more of the story here.
I want more of that story. But one, they're jealous that she has property. They're jealous that she has friends. And is that it? And they're just kind of binding her.
Yeah, it's really about her property and great fame that sticks out to me in fortune. So this person seems beloved amongst the people.
I definitely agree with you of socialite.
Socialite. Like, we would consider this like a socialite, like an elite, if you will.
Yeah, high class, high status. Oh my gosh. But it's, what are they binding her to?
I will bind her under murky Tartarus and troublesome bonds with Hecate Chthonios. That's all it says.
Huh.
Yeah. Apparently this is a long curse tablet. We only have a portion of it, but that was the most important part.
Damn.
I know.
Yeah. The well is really interesting because with ancient curse tablets, they're usually found in temples or sanctuaries to gods of the underworld. They will also be found, of course, in graves, gives you best access to the restless dead. Yep. And in wells, because again, the ancients thought that all rivers and bodies of water led to the underworld. So a lot of times wells will also be used too. So that's not too shocking for it to be found.
No, it seems like this person knew what they were doing though, because of the well and
the epithets. The drawings of especially the six-armed Hecate to be able to absolutely draw that out on a lead tablet. Like, you have to have some skill and time and knowledge.
Yeah. I always wonder if did this curse tablet get answered? Like, this poor person.
I know.
Crazy. But I just wanted to show that one because we've been talking a lot about love, but it's like you said in the beginning, jealousy is like the root of all quote unquote evil with people, where they go to these extreme lengths because they want something that they don't have. Like, we don't know the story behind that curse tablet. Like, is this person just existing with wealth, fame, and fortune and a socialite and beloved by the people? And you have that one loser in the shadows that's like, hey, I'm going to try to ruin it for you.
Hating like, from outside of the club. No, but it's so interesting because it goes back to, you know, many of our episodes consider it concerning the evil eye, because the evil eye was often pew pew shot off because of jealousy. So was the author of this or the client of this cursed tablet, had they been trying to evil eye this individual and then nothing was working? So they had to then take it to the nth degree. Like, how did we get to the cursed tablet rendition?
I don't know, but it also makes me wonder if the person that's the target of the curse tablet seems to me like they have the favor of the gods anyway, because they have wealth, fame, and fortune. And if they are widowed and they are still like the socialite that control their own money, it's like, that's pretty divine to me. You know what I'm saying?
Perhaps they're still, you know, in pietas or in peace with the gods still.
What I'm saying.
She's leaving her offerings.
That's what I'm saying. So I wonder if like this was like a last ditch effort attempt to like break this person down, but they're probably just protected or something.
Yeah.
You know, like empowering women, and you're going to invoke Hecate, where it's like, I don't really know. This is me just like projecting of like what I think's going on. This person could be a giant piece of crap for all we know, but
yeah,
it doesn't seem like it from the way they seem like they're beloved by the people. So maybe they are, you know, they have the favor of the gods, and that does, you know, that is a thing that people believe in.
That's going to ruffle some feathers for some ancient people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not me? Sort of energy.
The ancient why not me's, if you will.
The ancient why not me's. I get it.
But whether it's the 6th century BCE when we first see cursed tablets, whether it's the 4th century BCE, whether it's the 1st century as Chelsea just read one, or it's the 15th goddamn century, people will be cursing other people, whether it's on lead tablets or under their breath.
Absolutely. And we'll probably still see them today. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, damn. People still being people.
Anyway.
Spiteful and all.
Really quick note to that. This would be a good time to check out the Apotropaic episode that Ted and I talked about on how to protect yourself. How are we protected from the evil eyes? We've done many of episodes on that. And trust me, curses are not as common as people think. You know, to execute one professionally, like we saw my 15th century curse. I'm like, what is this?
What are we doing?
I think you had half of a book to tell you how to write a curse and you just didn't know how to do the rest. So...
Or people during that time period were perhaps very religious and said, oh, you know who's against the good people in my book? Demons.
100%. So that they went so far left.
That they probably screwed themselves over.
That's what I'm thinking. That's I was like, you should have gone to a professional for this.
This anyway. Could have been a professional. But anything else that you want to add before we end today's episode, Chelsea?
I think... Yeah, I'm going to add some things.
Okie doke.
Myself. If you're interested in booking a reading with me, I do have my services open for, I almost said March. Goddamn, we're in April. April, I do guidance from the dead reading. So if you're looking to get guidance from the other side, the shades of the underworld, your ancestors, I got you. I perform necromancy in that. I also am doing dream interpretation readings now, which I'm very excited about. It's a huge part of my Italian folk practice. So if you keep having a dream, reoccurring dream, and you're like, what the hell does that mean? I got you. I also have readings with King Hades and Hecate as well, if you're seeking their guidance. And yeah, I think that's... Oh, I also have evil eye removal readings if you think you got hit with Malocchio.
Oh, yeah. So if things are going bump with the night, who are you going to call? Chelsea.
Ghostbusters. Yeah, I enjoy doing it. I've had a lot of fun. It's not fun for my clients, but when people come to me with like actual problems, I like really love being like, all right, let's get the tea on this bitch. No curse problems
for the
today.
FBI.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Restock's happening today, 12 p.m.
Restock's happening today, April 8th, 12 p.m. Get it before they're gone, because apparently we have been without the gatekeeper candle for months. And
oh, we still have mystery boxes too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. We have a few mystery boxes left, so grab your mystery candles, grab your candles for Eleusis, and allow Chelsea and I to create a box made around that for you. And Chelsea, you and I are back on center stage next week for our own Ghost Whisper and Dirt Diaries podcast. What can the good folk expect from you next week?
I totally forgot I have my own podcast now. It's like, it's just a weird thing. Okay. So actually I have my dad on as a guest. He is a paranormal gal pal of ours here on Sticks and Bones Patreon. We are talking about the spirits of the land. And we're also talking about his paranormal experiences and our paranormal theories of why we think paranormal activity happens so often. So we're gonna be talking about that. It's very fun, exciting. You know, my dad loves the paranormal stuff. So a bit more personal if you're interested. And that's it. What about you? What do you have going on in the Dirt Diaries land?
Oh, I'm talking about curses. I'm talking about the curse of the mummy, curse of King Tut. Because when we come back, we, of course, are talking about tomb guardians and gatekeepers. Next time on Sticks and Bones. And if you want to come to Egypt with me, go ahead and check out all of the links down below in the show notes. You can check out Chelsea and I on social media, and you can hear from Chelsea and I individually next week on the Ghost Whisper and the Dirt Diary. So until 2 weeks from now, we will see you guys back on Sticks and Bones. Bye.
Bye.